You are about to experience the Jerry Banfield Show. Thank you for being here with us today. The purpose of this show is to help you learn something new, leave you feeling better than before you got here, and to give you access to tools, for example, books, practices, and ideas that can make your life better. These episodes are recorded live on Facebook Gaming. And if they're not on Facebook Gaming, they'll be recorded live on Twitch. If you'd like to participate in the conversation, I go live most days at 11 a.m. Eastern. I also upload these recordings as videos on my YouTube channel. If you'd prefer to watch the videos, you can hop on over there. I'm extremely grateful for your support on this podcast. And if you listen to this every day, the intro is exactly 60 seconds long. So if you start a new episode, you can just hit click forward 30 seconds twice to get right to it. The show Ancient Aliens is my favorite show on TV right now. Since I already watched all of Battlestar Galactica before, Ancient Aliens is the one TV show I consistently make time for to watch myself. I also watch This Is Us for my wife. Today we're discussing Ancient Aliens because this show has helped me a lot to open my mind. And what I think a lot of us want and crave is growth and expansion. And any show that helps open my mind to a world, a universe of possibilities, that gets me really excited. And it also leaves me feeling like I'm a part of something bigger that kind of makes sense somehow, instead of just alone floating around on Earth. So what we're talking about today is Ancient Aliens, live on Facebook, and then published on my podcast and other places on jerrybanfield.com. Love your feedback while we're live. And if you're new to Ancient Aliens, the basic premise is that we never have been alone. We are part of a universe that's full of life, and that this planet has never been evolved in isolation, that aliens have been involved with this planet throughout a very long time of its history. Some say hundreds of millions of years in the past, aliens have been here and using Earth as a genetic test lab. The more practical focus is to look at some more recent history, things like Egypt, pyramids. There's all kinds of evidence. There's absolutely overwhelming evidence all over the planet for this theory that Earth, we did not just evolve here and we're wondering if we're alone or maybe there's someone else out there, that we never have been alone as a human race. And in fact, we are here as a human race as a function of our own genetic alteration, that we have been created by people often referred to as gods in our history texts and our religious literature, when really those were just flesh and blood or maybe robotic extraterrestrials who to us told us they were gods or had what looked like to us extraterrestrial or godlike powers. For example, technology that made to the ancient people look like a god. That when you hear something like God referred to in things like the Old Testament, that's really an extraterrestrial who is giving orders and guiding things on Earth, and that has never stopped, that has continued through all of human history, that things like the pyramids, that all these ancient wonders around the world were built by civilizations that have superior technology to where we have today. If you watch Ancient Aliens, you will see a massive amount of evidence for this theory. And yes, critics can easily say that, well, this might not be right or that might not be right. Sure, but when you aggregate the 16 seasons, Nick, thank you very much for the 100 stars, the first stars on the stream today. When you aggregate 16 seasons with hundreds of episodes among them, it's very clear that our whatever history I was taught in school is an extremely limited point of view that misses out on the more interesting picture. That humans did not just evolve here by ourselves using tools and kind of developing on our own intellect, but rather have had beings with superior technology who've given things to us, who've made things, and more than likely still rule this planet, who still guide what happens on this planet. That we have never been alone, and that we are in a galaxy similar to Star Trek or Star Wars today, where there is some extraterrestrial rule that there is an extraterrestrial civilization that rules this planet today, and it's done discreetly. It's not done like blatantly right in your face, although we may be going towards conscious knowledge of this, because for most of human history, it was very common knowledge and very conscious in front of the people that there is this being who flies down in a spaceship, tells everybody what to do, then goes back up in a spaceship and leaves. It's amazing, some of the most incredible evidence. There's two pieces of evidence that are repeatedly shown throughout the show in many different forms that are hard to dispute. Number one is the architecture, or the way many of these ancient buildings, structures were built. We don't even have technology today that could build some of these things, or to build them the way they were built. For example, things like the pyramids, maybe we could build that with heavy cranes today. The pyramids was built extremely inconveniently. Massive blocks, way too heavy to push on a log or something dumb. The blocks are so heavy they would smash the log directly apart. Lisa, thank you very much for being a supporter. Welcome to the Jerry Banfield supporter family. There are many structures around the world that are built with really heavy blocks, like just tons. These are blocks that people would not have been able to lift up off of strength or off of pulleys. And they're put together so precisely that they don't have mortar between them. And this architecture is all over the world, which again does not make sense by what we've been told in school, that these civilizations evolved separately. The architecture, there's similar architecture all over the whole earth, from deserted islands or relatively difficult to get to islands in the Pacific, like Easter Island. You've got similar architecture in South America, Africa, Asia, North America, Middle East, Europe. And these, the way they built these, we still would have difficulty, if not even be able to, build these same kind of buildings that are already on the earth. Some of the most incredible evidence is also they've found evidence that there was a nuclear war in the ancient past, that there's a phrase called vitrification, which means when you drop an atomic bomb, it turns the sand into this kind of glass. And they found evidence, and you see stories in the Indian texts that say there was a war among the gods, and they found evidence that there was a nuclear war in the ancient past. And even the Bible speaks about when a time where they're in the beginning of the Bible, the Old Testament, where they're leaving a city and they turn back and someone was turned into salt. And that sounds like the kind of a nuclear blast thing. Like you look and bam, there's a white light and you just get wiped out all of a sudden. There's a ton of evidence for the ancient alien theory. And there's a big difference between evidence not existing and you not having seen the evidence. And that's one of the most important things I have got out of the show Ancient Aliens. Because I, in my maybe 10 or 15 years ago, I was pretty skeptical about things like aliens and anyone who went around saying they existed, because that's the viewpoint I'd been given by others. And I've learned a very valuable lesson. There's a big difference between you having seen the evidence and the evidence not existing. No one can say that something simply does not exist with any validity, because if you haven't seen it, it can exist. And since you haven't seen everything yourself, you can't know if anything doesn't exist. Just like, does that make any sense? That means you can't say with any correctness that something doesn't exist unless you've seen all of reality. Nicholas, thank you very much for the 100 stars. I'm happy to be your world history teacher today. And this is a very important lesson for me. When I hear anything now, I process it through this filter of just because I haven't seen the evidence something works doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Or to put that in positive terms, if something is real and I haven't seen the evidence of it, all that would need to happen is for me to see the evidence of it, and now I know it's real. I've heard Ancient Aliens has some of the most amazing stories too. Last night's episode I watched was in the 2019 season, and there was a guy on there named Paul, forget his last name, and in the episode, Paul was talking about, they have him on recording, I believe it was in the 90s, Paul was talking about that he was a geological engineer hired by the U.S. Department of Defense, one of those agencies, to go down and make underground bases for the U.S. government. And one day, Brett, thank you for the 2,000 stars. The big bomb. Can we get a hashtag Brett for the 2,000 stars on the stream? And David, thank you for another 100 stars. Extremely grateful for your support on the Ancient Alien stream today. Wow. Gotta reset my train of thought. All right, let's go back to that Paul story. So there's an engineer named Paul something. I'm not gonna guess at his last name. You can watch Ancient Aliens and they'll tell you in more detail. This man was hired. Thank you for the 100 again, David. This man was hired by the, according to what he said, he was hired by the U.S., one of the military defense agencies, to build deep underground bases for the government where they could have secrets and do whatever they want down there. In the course of building this, they were using dynamite to blow open caverns. And one of these caverns they blow open, they exploded the cavern into an existing alien base that they did not know about. And these aliens started firing laser weapons and killing all the U.S. Department of Defense personnel down there, including FBI agents, military personnel, and Paul escaped and lived to tell the tale. He told this tale publicly, and it was recorded, and 8 months later, he mysteriously died with the tube around his neck, and the police ruled it a suicide. Meanwhile, his family and friends says this was absolutely a cover-up, and there's no way he would have taken his own life. Ancient Aliens has uncovered so many stories like that. You could look at any one story and say, what's up, Kevin, Anthony, Abraham, Gary, Gio, nice to see you all today. You could look at any one of these stories and say, okay, maybe that guy's telling the truth, maybe not. But then you hear another one. They talk about there was an engineer who worked at Los Alamos, where I actually lived out near in New Mexico at the White Sands Missile Range. And there was a lot of crazy stuff that went on out there. My mom was in the Army and stationed out there. And there was a lot of crazy things that went on out there. This guy was stationed there. I think his name was Andrew Lazar or something like that. He was stationed out there in the 90s. And he said he was working on element 115, which is the key element for spaceships that are able to warp. The element 115 is so heavy it creates a disturbance in gravity. And then using the element 115, you can actually go faster than the speed of light. You can create a gravity bubble where you can go faster than the speed of light, and it's essential for interstellar space travel. He was working on this in the 90s, he said, at Los Alamos. He then, Anthony Lazaro, Bob Lazar. All right, thank you. Thank you, Bob Lazar. I appreciate my fact checkers here. Bob Lazar was working at Los Alamos in the 90s. He was working with this element 115, and he became a whistleblower and came out and said, look, people need to know this. And he started talking about it, and all of a sudden, they just erased him. Oh, Paul Schneider, thank you. Paul, the guy I was talking about before. David, thank you for the 100 stars. His name was Paul Schneider. All right, I'll unpin that so we can see some more of the comments. Thank you again, Brett, for the 2,000. David says his name was Paul Schneider. I researched him. His story was incredible. His father worked with Oppenheimer. He was a very intelligent child and was a top-tier education system. Ryan with the massive star bomb, 2,135 stars. Can we get a hashtag Ryan in the chat as well? Thank you, Ryan, for the big bomb on the Ancient Aliens stream today. Thank you all for researching these people I'm talking about as well. It's more fun. So Bob Lazar worked at Los Alamos. He came out publicly and said, this is what I'm working on. This is what the government has. And all of a sudden, he got erased. The government cut him loose from his work assignment, and one piece of evidence remained. They said he never worked there. And yet, there were phone books printed from the directory that had his phone number there. Which means if he never worked there, and his book, there's no reason his name would be in the phone number. There's no reason he'd be listed in the phone directory if he never worked there. I've also seen, there's so many of these stories they share on Ancient Aliens. Like this, there's just a whole bunch of them. That's the tip of the iceberg. I can't even remember the names of these people. There's so many great stories there. They've got actual people who've seen UFO wrecks. There's another great story they've shared several times on Ancient Aliens. It's called, in 1946, after the World War II ended, the United States sent a massive armada of naval ships down to Antarctica to explore Antarctica. I believe there were rumors or theories or intelligence saying that the Nazis had established a base in Antarctica. The U.S. put together a massive armada of warships to go down there. And they put one of their top commanders to lead it. They send a massive armada of warships down to Antarctica to research a potential Nazi base. Then when they get down there, there are spaceships. There are craft that have laser weapons that cut ships in half. And the armada goes home having had a few vessels sank. The armada turns around, not landing at Antarctica, and goes back to the USA in defeat. And they've shared that story several times on there. That's something you could look up as well. Michael says there was a photo of him at his time at Los Alamos. He was working at Area 51 when he came out. Thank you, Michael, for the additional information. I love seeing all the information. Jake Fox, I'm happy to hear you got a year and 4 months clean today. Another amazing story from Ancient Aliens that is percolating in my mind right now. There's so many good stories from there. They all kind of run together. Which one was I just thinking about? That one just slipped away. It'll come back to me in a minute. Oxduff said they tried to discredit him. There's so many good stories about Roswell. Oh, came back to my mind. There it is. See, you notice I always use words of affirmation when I'm talking. You notice I didn't get down on myself. I knew the thing that was in my mind would slip back around, and it did. The FBI released a memo. It's called the Guy Hodel Memo, the most viewed memo on the FBI's database. Millions of people have looked at it. Ancient Aliens talked about this as well. The FBI recently, or maybe 10 years ago, but fairly recently in its whole history, released a memo from the director of the FBI office in DC to the director of the FBI, Herbert Hoover. The director's name was Guy Hodel, and he sent a memo to Herbert Hoover, who apparently had asked, hey, why don't you find out what went on in Roswell? Let me know about that. And Guy Hodel sends a memo back. And I could probably pull that up for you on the live stream right now. I can actually show you this memo on the live stream. Let me pull this memo up. I'll show you exactly what it says right here. I'll just search. I'm searching this up. Guy Hodel. Search the memo up. FBI records. I can show you the actual memo right here on the FBI's website. So you don't have to take me, this one's right on the FBI website here. This is on the official FBI.gov website. Office memorandum. David, thank you for another 100 stars. The Rendlesham UFO, maybe we can look that up. All right, take a look at this. Office Memorandum, U.S., March 22, 1950, from Guy Hoddle, SAC, Washington, which that might be, I'm not sure what that stands for. Subject, flying saucers. The following information was furnished. An investigator for the Air Force stated that three so-called flying saucers had been recovered in New Mexico. They were described as being circular in shape with raised centers approximately 50 feet in diameter. Each one was occupied by three bodies of human shape, but only 3 feet tall, dressed in metallic cloth of a very fine texture. Each body was bandaged in a manner similar to the blackout suits used by speed flyers and test pilots. According to the informant, the saucers were found in New Mexico due to the fact that the government has a high-powered radar set up and it believed the radar interferes with the controlling mechanisms of the saucers. This was a memo that was sent to Hubert, to the director of the FBI, from one of his agents about the subject of flying saucers. Now, the FBI's website put a response to the memo on there, which is interesting. Like, this was a memo released in their archives. That was a memo that they had put out in their archives, an official FBI memo. And for every little official tidbit like that, there's a whole bunch that has been covered up. And yes, I do remember the Call of Duty Black Ops 115 reverse engineering. Look up the Bob Lazar interview. All right, I will take a look at that. Let me see, is that on YouTube? I'd love to look up the Bob Lazar info on YouTube. Bob Lazar. All right, let's see if I can find the Bob Lazar interview on YouTube. Oh, cool. Oh, he was on Larry King. All right, I'll pull that up on my phone. I'll watch that later. Another great thing that was... Dude, I keep starting to think of these. What is that other thing I was thinking of? Let me scroll back through the comments and I'll come back. What's up, Dana? Nice to see you. Look up Skinwalker Ranch. This is great. So those of you that are already Skinwalker Ranch... All right, well, I put the off screen when I'm doing this. That way, if anything, I look up. David, I'll look up the Rendlesham UFO incident too. The basic idea is there is an absolute overwhelming amount of evidence. Hundreds of thousands of reports, all kinds of stories, testimonies, everything from abductions to people. You can look at some of the ancient texts. And when it says things like Jonah was swallowed up in a whale, if you put it in technological terms, Jonah went over to the water, a UFO picked him up, he got in it, went down in the belly of the whale, aka the UFO, flew back out, came out having learned a few things. What's up, Tim? Nice to see you today. So the last watch close accounts of the fifth kind, I haven't seen that one before. What I watched on Ancient Aliens yesterday, they said there's three primary types of aliens that are vying for territory or influencing Earth right now. There's the Nordic-looking aliens that are the tall whites, that kind of Thor-looking, you can imagine. And the Nazis said that they were working with... That's where the Nazis got the idea for the master race, when they came up with all this stuff in the 30s. And that's where they got the idea that the Nazis recovered a crashed UFO. And that's where the Nazis got all this technology, and where they were actively working with those Nordic extraterrestrials, who are very much like us. And in fact, we may be here as a function of their creation. And a bunch of stories on Ancient Aliens about how the U.S. government rushed in to get those German scientists, and that the U.S. government actually made an alliance and has active alliances today with multiple extraterrestrial fractions. We get technology from them in exchange for, what I want to know is, what are we giving them? Are we giving them access to this planet? Are we giving them control over things like the internet? What exactly are we giving them in return for what we're getting? The clothing those humanoids wore was a fine metal mesh. It was an account from an officer. Yeah, there's so many stories of police officers getting called out to UFOs, seeing UFOs. There's so many stories of pilots having seen UFOs and being told to keep their mouth shut or they'll lose their job. And a UFO sighting from a pilot you would think is extremely reliable. Somebody who's put tens of thousands of hours flying planes sees a UFO, that would be a high quality sighting. And the pilots, tons of pilots have seen UFOs and been told that you either keep quiet or you lose your job if you talk about this. And many pilots have talked about it anyway and then lost their jobs. There's a show, Missing 411 on Hulu, Mysterious Vanishing in a Forest Spot. Oh my goodness. David says we're allowing them to farm us. That actually makes a lot of sense. I'll let you know if I get farmed. That actually makes a lot of sense. There's also something weird with cows that's been going on this planet with all these random cow abductions, cows being taken, farmers finding cows very strangely mutilated, looking like laser tools worked on them. Not something a wolf would have done, but something that would have happened on a lab table. Dougie says FBI has confirmed UFO sightings. What I'm hoping is that as each of us cultivates truth within ourselves, then our government will rise to a level of consciousness, of trust, where we can be open about these things. It seems that disclosure, in terms of our bigger picture, in terms of our place in the galaxy, will happen when the population, according to the judgment of those making the decision, when the population is prepared to receive it. Think about it this way. If you are one of the people or extraterrestrials who are truly in power over this planet, and you look at the people on the planet, would you tell them at this point that, hey, there's all kinds of aliens on this planet, we're part of a big galaxy, this is how things really are. Do you think the population of 7 billion humans on this planet today is ready to handle that? I'd like to think, if not today, maybe tomorrow, that in my lifetime, our humanity collectively will be in a place where those in power trust the rest of humanity to have that information and not go crazy and just tear the world down. Or also not rebel and try and fight either. I have a theory as well that this recent pandemic and COVID has all seemed not fully disclosed to me. What it seems like to me, the real agenda is to get everybody on that vaccine. Like, that to me seems like the real agenda. And that's because you can use a vaccine to genetically modify the recipient of it, that the vaccine may contain things to stop a particular virus, but it also may contain genetic code to modify your body as well. And this may be happening on a very routine basis. That's why all the schools require shots to go to school, and that the vaccines actually, the people or extraterrestrials truly in control of this planet are intentionally modifying our DNA through vaccines and through viruses that are distributed other ways. These are genetic. What I realized today is that there's a big difference between what I know from experience and what I know from fact. Because the more you talk about this stuff, the more people will come at you with closed minds. I talked to someone yesterday and they said, well, that's just not true. And I'm like, you don't know whether that's true or not. Well, somebody would say something. Like, people say something all the time, and whether you hear what they've said is a big difference. Thus, I don't know what the vaccines contain, and almost nobody knows what the vaccines actually contain, because unless you can do the science yourself And you know the human genetic code, and you can use a program, and you can see, oh, when this RNA is injected into the human bloodstream, it modifies the DNA this way, and that's the result. Unless you can do that yourself, then you just don't know what is actually in it or not. And Laura jokes that if they are upgrades, I better get my vaccine so I will be a part of the upgraded human race. Anna says, why would they want to modify us? That's what I would like to know, is to have full disclosure, because there's a lot of reasons that modifying our DNA might be helpful. For example, they were just talking about in the ancient alien, in the ancient past, like 75 million years ago, humans suddenly developed this ability for the mother's body to not reject the fetus, which very helpful genetic modifier. But with DNA, these bodies appear to have been created by genetic destiny. And you hear all these stories that it was God that created humans, not evolution. And to me, it seems true that it's both, and that God is an extraterrestrial in a spaceship who pulls up a human, gives them a vaccine, sends them back down to Earth, and now the human has been changed. The DNA has been modified off that vaccine. And kids get all kinds of vaccines. There's a lot of potential benefits that can happen through genetic modification. For example, there's all kinds of things you could do to, you could upgrade the intellect through genetic there's so much you could do through modifying the genetic code. It completely makes sense. And what we don't know clearly is how that fits into the bigger picture. If David, I believe, said that we're being farmed, that we're being used by the aliens, I heard a theory last night that I really liked, that the purpose of this planet, like in the bigger picture, there is an intergalactic war that's been going on for a really long time, and this planet is just another colony. And we are being used to fight an intergalactic war, which means our bodies could be being used, or we don't know exactly what capacity we're being used, but we collectively as a planet are helping fight an intergalactic war right now that we don't even know whose side we're on. We don't even know who's fighting in it, but our planet is providing resources, is providing labor for an intergalactic war. And that feels really true to me, which is probably why I've liked things like Star Wars and Star Trek. Dougie says it's confirmed Jerry is an alien. We are all an alien. All of us are here. None of us evolved on this planet. We have all been here through intervention. There's one grim way. All right, I told my wife this last night off. This is an idea I got watching Ancient Aliens. One of the ideas that prevails in human consciousness is that we're all alone and we evolved alone on this planet, and is there life in the rest of the universe? Kind of like the universe is barren of life, or no other life has come here, and it's kind of an open universe full of possibilities. The other end of that possibility is that the universe, or at least the galaxy and our galaxies nearby, have been almost completely explored. That we are in the middle of an old galaxy where many planets have already came and gone and been destroyed. For example, Mars appears to have been hit by a super weapon. There's a massive scar stretch in the middle of Mars. It looks like it had it, based on where it's positioned, that it should have been an Earth planet with perfect for civilization. It looks like Mars was, this is another thing on Ancient Aliens, that Mars was hit with a super weapon in the distant past that wiped off the entire atmosphere off of Mars and wiped out life on the planet of Mars. It also appears that between Mars and Jupiter, there was another planet in another Earth-like zone, and that planet was completely annihilated, and all that's left is an asteroid belt from that planet right now. It looks, according to our physicists, that there should be a planet between Mars and Jupiter, and yet there's an asteroid belt. And if a planet was blown up, that's what there'd be in its place, is an asteroid belt. Thus, The other way to look at this universe is we're in a very old universe or galaxy where there's been a lot of intergalactic wars. Many planets have already been destroyed, many civilizations wiped out, and we are one of the planets that is contributing to the fight, that we are very much a part of the intergalactic conflict, and we, most of humanity is not aware of our involvement, but some of humanity is very aware of our involvement. In 2019, the U.S. government made the Space Force an official agency, and another, I believe, like alongside the Air Force, now there's a Space Force. So I'm imagining in this body's lifetime that there's going to be a conscious awareness of our place in the bigger galaxy, because if you wanted to use this planet to fight an intergalactic war, it would be helpful for all of the inhabitants on the planet to understand what they were contributing to so that they could make their most effective contributions. Depending, at least that's how I look at it. It depends on what exactly is needed out of this planet. If they're needing to farm us for body parts or for soldiers or something, maybe there's a belief that it'd be better we don't know about it. And we think, kind of like the Matrix, we're just going about our lives when really we're here for another purpose. Dougie crashed our ship here and bonked our head, couldn't remember where we were from. Anna says, assuming they're destroying planets purposefully. What I feel great about is knowing that these things are fun, these ideas are fun, these open my mind. I realize I don't know whether a planet was destroyed in this solar system or not. I don't know whether Mars was hit with a super weapon or not. I've seen evidence that it has been, but I could see other evidence that it wasn't. It's nice. Ancient Aliens is a really helpful show for having an open mind, to realize you know very little about the bigger picture. In fact, each of us knows almost nothing about the bigger picture compared to what's possible to be known. And it leaves me very excited about the future. I love the idea that humanity, that all these UFO encounters and alien involvement, that these things in the future could be known about consciously by the masses instead of being known about by a small percentage of us. So I really like that idea. That gets me excited. I haven't heard anything about the Skinwalker Ranch yet. I will look that up. Certain aliens study us because they don't understand us. It's a big universe, and I think a lot of movies like Men in Black are giving us an insight into the truth or into a relevant viewpoint. Kellen, thank you for the 200 stars, Kellen. Kellen sent stars for the first time today. Thank you very much, Kellen, for sending stars on the stream for the first time. Thank you for the love on the stream, Kellen. Space Force Anthony says the Space Force is just a cover for black budget projects. If I wanted to go in the military, I'd want to be in the Space Force. I've heard through Ancient Aliens that there's actually, the United States has for at least 20, maybe 30 years, had ships that could cloak, that could fly faster than the speed of light, that the U.S. has had our own flying saucers. And that Bob Lazar was actually working on the fuel for those and came out about it. And many others have talked about the same thing. I like the idea that there's a U.S. space fleet. And if I was to go in the military, I'd enlist and say, how do I get on the space fleet? I've also heard through Ancient Aliens stories that we already have a colony on Mars, that the U.S. has already sent these ships that we have that go very fast and that use these extraterrestrial technologies. We've already sent those ships to Mars. We already have a colony on Mars for the purpose of scavenging whatever technology is on there. And that the true race to the moon was a race to go grab the technology just laying there on the moon. One theory I think is funny is that the moon is actually a Death Star or an artificial construct. That the moon, maybe not in terms of purely being an artificial construct, but the moon is like a big Death Star, which it could have been built out of a moon at some point, but the dark side of the moon is a crazy place. It's hollow. It's an alien base. I like that idea that we actually cannot see the dark side of the moon ever because of the way it rotates and how the sun's on it. So there's the moon is perfectly synced up just for this planet. I also like the idea that Earth was actually terraformed, that really this planet is too hot, that it ought to be more like Venus. But the technology that we had when we were on Mars, there's a lot of theories that we came over here from Mars, and that this planet was terraformed so that we could survive on it because it wasn't very livable. It's kind of like Venus. At some point there was a shield that was put on Earth to stop so much of the sun's rays from coming in, to allow the planet to cool off. And this happened just millions and millions of years ago. And now we have a planet that's inhabitable, but really the planet ought to be a hell of a lot warmer. Again, I like having all of these ideas. Jason says, big universe is an understatement. It's infinite. It's more than our minds can even comprehend, at least my mind. If you know your stretch, if you stretch the limits of your mind, I sometimes get nauseous when I push my mind, when I push this human brain at the limit of its processing capacity, which that's how I know I just really expanded it a bit. Douglas, what's up, you sexy mother fluffers? Nice to see you today, Douglas. Ovik, thanks for being here. Bo, nice to see you today. Who else have I not shouted out yet? Samuel, I saw an episode of Ancient Aliens where an alien came down. He had food. It was cardboard. What's up, Carlton? Dougie D, Jupiter has a perfect hexagon? That sounds cool. Carlton says, I watched a video on Gaia where they were saying that there was a planet between Mars and Venus that it was blown up, and that's why the asteroid belt is there. But I guess they fled here. Yes, that was on Gaia. I've seen the same thing on Ancient Aliens. Dougie says, I like to think this is a punishment for our crimes as aliens, and these bodies are our prisons where our soul is what our true self, our alien self. That's funny, Dougie. I haven't thought of that before. Dougie D, that's my gamer tag. Nice. I trust in life wherever my passion goes. And when I watch Ancient Aliens, I get really excited, just like I have as a kid watching Star Wars and Star Trek. It seems true to me that we are part of a much bigger universe that's full of life, that's thriving, where there's all kinds of ancient technology. Oh, another cool thing I saw in Ancient Aliens. What's up, Baba? They said that one star that they've found in the sky appears to have a massive artificial structure around it, as if there's some civilization that has built, picture like a massive space station or group of solar panels, that there's appears to be a just huge artificial structure around a star. And they made that conclusion by the strange way this star flickers. Now, of course, my mind says there could be a lot of other explanations for it. However, I'm sure there must be a star somewhere that has a massive artificial structure around it to capture all that energy that the star puts off. Dean says, what about the reptilians? I just watched the episode about the reptilians. This episode talks how there's a... All right, so there are three basic aliens. I got off track on them before. One, the Nordic, or tall whites, or the Nazis call the master race. So the one extraterrestrial looks very much like at least the white bodies on this planet, but is the most similar to all human beings on this planet. And that's the race that we are most directly connected with. And the only reason they're tall whites is because in lower gravity, these bodies would be taller. And in heavier gravity, they would be more dwarf-like. Therefore, our bodies are set up where they can grow taller or they can grow shorter based on the gravity. Oh, all right. Another cool side note. One of the strangest things about these human bodies that is confirmed by mainstream science is that these bodies have what is called not a Kardashian rhythm, circadian rhythm. These bodies have a circadian rhythm, which means your biological functions sync up with the planet you're on. If we evolved here, you would think that if you took these bodies off of this Earth, they would still remain synced up with Earth. But a funny thing happens. When you take these bodies off of this Earth, they go slightly out of sync with Earth's rhythm. But guess what planet they do sync up with? Mars. If you take these bodies off of Earth, the circadian rhythm, in theory, goes back to the default. And the default is the circadian rhythm of Mars. That's really cool. And that is the theory that these bodies actually, the form of these were once on Mars. Mars got hit by a super weapon. And a small group of survivors came to Earth and is now repopulating Earth with the same types of bodies that were populating Mars previously. Which is probably why a lot of us are fascinated with Mars. All right, cool little side note. Another thing you could look up human body circadian rhythm in space and look up Mars circadian rhythm or something like that. All right, so back to the three extraterrestrial races. One is the Nordic, or they kind of look like Vikings, Swedish kind of look. Two, gray aliens. These are the little short aliens that were referred to in the Roswell crash. Short gray aliens, big black eyes. That's the second, also known as the grays. There have been a ton of sightings of the grays, including the Roswell crash. And then the third type of alien is what's called the reptilians. And these are, from what I understand, the three dominant extraterrestrial species that are on this planet. And we've been created in the image most closely of the Nordic extraterrestrials. However, the reptilians and the grays are messing around with us quite a bit too, and they're all kind of competing for territory and influence on Earth. Apparently, the reptilians were a race that coexisted with humans in the time the Bible refers to as the Garden of Eden, that many other ancient texts refer to, where there was a snake people that lived with humans, and then God, or probably Nordic extraterrestrials, and they had a war with these reptilians and banished them to the underside of the Earth, or the underground. And now the reptilians live underground and perhaps are plotting to come up to the surface and are doing their best to influence life on the surface from underground. There have been a ton of sightings of these reptilian extraterrestrials as well, especially in caves. Baba, thank you very much for the 100 stars. I am not familiar with Stephen Greer or the CE5 contact method. Thank you for helping me see opportunities for me to research and to get more into what I'm excited about. Let me grab a notepad and I'll write that down. Oh, that's another cool thing. So I've read stories saying that you can intentionally contact these extraterrestrials, that you can do certain things to yourself and you can make conscious contact with them. Baba says, I've made contact before. Is that what you're talking about? I'm writing Dr. Stephen Greer down right now. And CE5 method, is that what you mean? Through meditation, yes. So you go into a deep meditative state and you can actually make contact because they want to make contact with whichever individuals actually know how to contact them. And then you are essentially the ambassador. You go carry, you work on their behalf. Thank you, Baba, for that suggestion. So I'll put that down. Contact. All right. Thank you for those notes, Baba. I have heard of that. I think that was on Ancient Aliens before, too. I also read a book. What is that book called? It's Ari, no, the I don't know. That's amazing. Steven, what are we talking about? Welcome to the stream. We're talking about ancient aliens today, UFOs, world history, and the future of our galaxy. I see the future as being something that's really exciting, that is full of possibility, that one of the more interesting possibilities I was thinking of last night watching the episode about the reptilians, which that's the episode I've been talking about a lot during this today. I was wondering, okay, maybe these COVID vaccines are carrying DNA that make it possible for us to express a more reptilian nature, that the reptilians have conspired to get this into our DNA, and that one day we're all of us who took the COVID vaccine are going to wake up and express our reptilian nature, that we're going to suddenly have a tail and scale-like skin. I got this idea because there was a lady that they had on the reptilians episode that says she was taken by the reptilians and they basically showed her how she could become a reptile, showed her her reptilian features and possibilities. And in fact, all of these bodies have tails in the uterus. Now, most of us, when we're still growing in our mother, lose our tails. However, some human beings are actually born with tails. And it appears that we have a lot of reptilian ancestors, more recent than way back to like crocodiles and stuff, but that we have reptilian DNA that could very easily be a part of a walking human-like reptile. Above Majestic is a doc on Netflix. Oh, cool. And that's another thing that they've... Let me write that down. I'll put that in my movies to watch. I've watched... What was that I was just going to talk about? Oh, The Majestic 12. The Majestic 12 is something they talk about consistently on Ancient Aliens, that back after World War II, I believe it was either under Truman or Eisenhower, it was like late 40s, early 50s, when the Roswell crash happened, the government started to get all involved with extraterrestrials and said, we need to set up a council of people to handle the extraterrestrial issue and to bring people in from the most top people from the military, top scientists. We need a council of people that can handle this extraterrestrial issue. And they were called the Majestic 12. Essentially a secret group of advisors on the extraterrestrial issue and processing extraterrestrial technology and relationships. And that what's happened is the Majestic 12 have now, what that started, that has become the real government of the United States. That secret organization has now taken power and is the true government of the United States. Meaning, and this was enforced or made solid when John F. Kennedy was elected president. That apparently John F. Kennedy was shot because he was going to tell the public the truth or what he knew about our extraterrestrial involvement, and that the Majestic 12 had decided that that was not acceptable because they didn't want Russia to be aware that we had active alliances with extraterrestrials. They did not want Russia to find out that we were taking technology from extraterrestrials and using it and advancing our space travel, advancing our whole society. And John F. Kennedy did not agree with that and was going to go public about it. And therefore, the Majestic 12 had John F. Kennedy assassinated. And since then, the Majestic 12 has ruled every single government of the United States, that whoever gets elected president will be taking phone calls from the exact same secret military dictator who's in charge of the Majestic 12 Council, and they are accountable directly to the extraterrestrial beings who truly have power and influence over this planet. And that's how our real power system works. Do you think of... what it seemed like to me is that whatever president has been in charge, that it doesn't feel like there's truly been a regime shift. It feels like we've been ruled my entire lifetime by the same power structure. That it's not like we went from like a, you know, a Hitler or a Mussolini to, you know, some John F. Kennedy or something like that. It's as if the same person or the same group has been in charge of the country my whole lifetime. And in fact, the elections are a big show today to distract people from looking and paying any attention to the secret government. That the secret government makes all the real decisions. And yes, the president is allowed to do things that they need to do. But when it comes down to something truly important, the president is taking orders from that military council that was formed back in the 40s. Let me put that movie in. I want to watch that too. Josh says, are you scared of getting shot? Absolutely not, because I feel that the powers behind all of this are seeding human consciousness to be prepared to cooperate consciously with all the extraterrestrials on the planet. I believe shows like Ancient Aliens are being allowed out there to give that seed of this idea so that, like for me, for example, if there was an announcement one day that says, hey, we've been keeping this secret because we had to, now we're going to be clear about it. There are all kinds of extraterrestrials. We are not alone. We've never been alone. We're actively, imagine like a government saying this, like, there's all kinds of extraterrestrials. We've been working with them in secrecy until we felt we could make this public. Today, we're making this public because we need your cooperation. This is happening and that's happening, and we need you to help us out with this so that we can all work together and survive. I believe that we're being conditioned gently and seeded so that people like me would not be surprised at all by this revelation. While some people might be shocked by it, I think even the measures we've seen to lock down the planet in the last year have been a test as to how well authority can be exerted on this planet. That if it seems like to me it's a test that, okay, if we reveal that there are extraterrestrials on this planet, could we lock this planet down if people started to be disobedient? And it looks like that test has been passed, that governments could basically make any excuse, lock people in their houses, people would accept it without fighting. Therefore, from what I see, that we've just passed some test, that there could be a major announcement about extraterrestrials and people would take orders from their government, go sit in their house and watch the news and see what to do next with this new point of view. Well, let me put that. I'm putting Above Majestic. There we go. I want to watch that. Above Majestic documentary about Draconians. All right, cool. I got that in there. Silas, I love you. Welcome. Thank you for the 1,000 more stars today. Sean T. King says, these conversations are my jam. They're my jam, too. This is what gets me really excited, really pumped. Anna, that's possible. The Nazis could have made up the aliens as a scapegoat to say it wasn't their idea. And then other world leaders realized they could use the alien excuse. I would figure that those would have been perpetuated more openly if that was the case. However, I'm glad today I've got an open mind. I see that I don't know. If I haven't been there and seen it recently myself, I don't know. As a police officer, I noticed the difference between what was experienced versus what was reported on the news. And today, it seems only logical to me that what is reported officially may or may not have anything to do with an externally observable truth, meaning people who have the ability to control what is told to the public are at completely at liberty to create whatever they feel is best. That means they could tell you anything they want to about things like COVID. It may or may not have any real truth to it. Or aliens completely deny it, even though it's pure fact. It means that it's important in each of us to cultivate honesty. Because when we cultivate honesty in ourselves, our governments are made up of, well, our people, our governments are probably made up of people like us, but they might not be. I saw on Ancient Aliens a thing the new Russian prime minister said, or maybe it was the Russian president, not Putin, so I'm thinking it was the Russian president. The incoming Russian, the new guy after Putin, when he came into office, apparently, according to the footage they put on Ancient Aliens, a reporter asked him, so what's it like being president? What happens? And he said, well, there's two things that happen. One, you get the nuclear launch. You get a folder with, like, the nuclear stuff or something. Something like that for, like, the military and the nuclear code. But I didn't pay as much attention. But he said that's one thing you get. And then the second thing you get is a folder of all the extraterrestrials living in Russia. She said, well, how many of them are there? And he said, I can't say because there'd be a panic. And this was recorded with the new incoming Russian prime minister talking about what happens when you first become prime minister. You get the nuke codes and a folder of extraterrestrials living in Russia. Which leads me to wonder how many discreet or undercover extraterrestrials are living in the USA. Anthony says, going back to the ancient structures like the pyramids of Egypt, or, oh, can we get a hashtag for Silas as well? Silas dropped a big 1,000-star donation. I love when you all support each other in the chat and thanking each other for making this show financially viable. This is the main way I'm able to earn any income as work, and I love being able to show up and talk about these things. So thank you, Silas, for the 1,000 stars. And I'd love to see if you got a hashtag for Silas today. People love a good mystery. It's much more appealing than thinking humans are being controlled by other humans. Yes, and I realize I don't know today. It could just be other humans. There might not be any aliens. I realize that is a possibility. And that without me seeing some aliens myself and being able to put my hands around them, and maybe I've hugged an alien before. I don't even know. Anthony says, going back to ancient structures. Thanks for the hashtag, Anthony, for Silas. Anthony says, going back to the ancient structures like the pyramids of Egypt or the Mayan pyramids, I have a hard time believing that these were built without help. These were absolutely, in my opinion, built with help, because you wouldn't, if you were living in ancient times, according to what I was taught in school, there's no way you would have decided to quarry massive granite blocks, move those for hundreds of miles, and then set those up as a pyramid. If you were just trying to bury your ruler, I mean, people have a trait of laziness. And a civilization, would, like if it was ancient Egypt with no alien or high technology involvement, there's no way they would have went to such extreme measures to bury a pharaoh. They might have piled some local blocks up, and but you would not have quarried these massive granite blocks and moved them with some kind of manual labor, if that's even possible, and then somehow put them all into position perfectly so that thousands of years later they're still standing? No. What apparently the pyramids were built with was anti-gravity technology, where the blocks were actually cut with lasers, levitated. Silas, thank you for another 200 stars and the hashtag Jerry. Let's go. I'm glad you're here for this one today, Silas. Chris, thank you for the hashtag for Silas. So apparently a more believable story is that the blocks were quarried to build these pyramids, and the anti-gravity technology was used to levitate the blocks a long way across from where they came from to where they were put together, and the blocks were floated and dropped gently into position. And what's cool is that could have been done by, like, one spaceship could have done that single-handedly. Patrick, thank you for the 100 more stars on top of all that we've got sent. Thank you for being here again today and being a supporter, Patrick. Chris says they levitated those blocks. There's a story of a man who built his own block garden in the United States, and he says he found the secret of the pyramids and that he actually levitated all of his blocks into position as well. Patrick, thank you for another 100 stars. Let's go. So it's awesome to see how many things we have in common. I got a text message. There's Patrick's star notification. Thanks a lot, Patrick, for that and the last 100. The Coral Palace, I think it's called. I'm amazed how much you all know about this, too. Is that Anthony? Thank you for another 100 stars, Anthony. A milestone follower. Can I see how long you've been following? Oh, it doesn't say. By lost civilization lost during the cataclysmic event some 12,800 years ago. There's Anthony's 100 stars. Look at Puma Puco and Machu Picchu. Yes, there's so many ancient civilizations that used very similar building techniques that are often inconvenient. We wouldn't build things like this today, let alone 12,000 years ago. Jason says this guy's story is amazing. Let me write that down, Jason. The Coral Palace. The Coral Palace. That's what's so cool is there's so many amazing stories out there. Kylie says, really enjoying this chat. Nobody does it like you. I am happy to hear that. And I'm grateful today I follow my passion. This is what I was most excited to talk about today. I watched some Ancient Aliens last night on Hulu. I love it. I trust my passion today that anything that gets me excited is right for me. And that if I find something boring, it doesn't mean it's wrong for everybody else. It just means that's not something for me. Lisa slept in through the Ancient Alien discussion today. I'm glad you're here. Bester James has been following forever. 1,923 days. A true original gangster. I love being an original for somebody. I have a yoga instructor. He started yoga up about 6 months ago, and I was one of the people. There'd be one, two, three of us there for yoga. It was Florida cold, at least, not like Michigan cold where I was born, but Florida cold, you know, maybe 60s, 50s, and we just, me and him and one or two others would be doing yoga out in the dark, and I've kept coming consistently for 6 months, and now there were 30 or 40 people at yoga last night, and it's so cool to... I love being one of the originals there, like to know the instructor for so long, to see all the new people here. I love being your teacher. That's my passion, is teaching. Anna says, what if they built them like a sandcastle style on the spot using water as a stiffening agent? Maybe the water's been used as a mineral similar to sands. Brandon, thanks for the notify. It's possible. That's what I love, is anything that helps me have an open mind. Because children often have very open minds. And to me, an open mind is a big symbol of health. And a closed mind is a symbol that you're dying. That when you've got your mind closed and that this is how it is, and I know that's how it is, and I don't want to even talk about anything that might be different, you're going to die soon. And that's where I was 7 years ago. Like, my mind is so closed, I'm going to die soon with this closed mind, unless I pray to God desperately, please help me, you know, get sober, and then through getting sober, open my mind up. Steven says, have you thought about teaching at a school? You make a huge impact on people online, but you get apples every day. I actually started an in-person show last year, and I've found I actually like teaching online better, because you can access anyone, anywhere, and the whole world can access this online. And there, if I'm going to teach in person, it's got to kind of be things that are relevant in person. Like, to me, a yoga class in person is really good, or some kind of a fitness or movement class in person is really good. But with one thing our technology that we probably got from extraterrestrials has done, is it's made any kind of like teaching or talking like this, the best way to do it, in my opinion, is just to deliver it online. Now, what I'd like to do is get some local meetups together And if you go to jerrybanfield.com, you can send me a text message. I may be I'm planning on a road trip this summer. I might be available to do some local meetups while I'm on that trip this summer. I'll be in Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, and maybe I'll be going up to Michigan or over to North Carolina. So if you're around any of those areas, make sure you're on my text list and I might be able to work out a local meetup. But I like having these conversations directly online so that anyone anywhere could experience them. Someone maybe that's listening to this in a country where they're very open and like, yes, there's definitely extraterrestrials and our government's talking with them, or might listen to this and be like, wow, that's crazy that it's not like that. Or maybe someone who lives in an area where nobody talks about this stuff. There are some parts of the world that are really open and we're there's just different communities where there's the communities where a lot of people are really open and expect that aliens run stuff, and others that are totally closed. Teaching is my passion. Anna says, I love that you keep an open mind, but it seems like it's influencing people in one direction. Like the possibilities of aliens is different than saying it's facts that humans could not have produced that. I don't know whether humans have produced that or not. And of course, I enjoy sharing my opinion and having other people share a similar opinion. At the same time, I realize I wouldn't want conformity. The worst thing in the whole universe would be if everyone agreed with me and thought how I thought. In fact, I think the universe would instantly come to an end if that happened. If the only way the universe could die would be complete conformity. If everything was the exact same and nothing was different, that would be utter boredom, no more expansion. So I appreciate, my wife is like, I tell her about this stuff and she's consistently plays the skeptic and the eye rolling role and the or she'll ask like some silly question. So I'm very used to that at home and I appreciate it. I wouldn't want her to be any different. I like that Laura doesn't just nod her head and agree with everything I say. Dean says, what happens if someone came into your life and told you he was a very intelligent rabbi and he had all the answers to the universe? Would you listen to him? I'd listen and then make my own decisions. Michael says, I've talked to high school students about jobs and interviewing to teen suicide. It's fun and I enjoy helping people. I would love to do some more in-person events. It seems like the time is not ideal for that right now. I would love to go do some more in-person speaking events though. Dominic says, Jerry just stopped by to say hello. Thanks a lot. Josh from Knox O2 Gaming. What's up, Josh? Thanks for the 100 star. KP, thanks for being here today. I'm lovely. Josh with Knox O2 Gaming, just Knox O2, it doesn't say gaming, making a star train. Let's go. Thank you for all the stars, Josh. The total chat takeover. 5, 6. That's 6, 7, 8. Josh Knox blowing the stars up. Thank you very much, Josh. I love you too, Josh. Thank you for all the stars today and the support. Oh, dropped my water bottle. Hey, do you think one of the extraterrestrials just blew that over, or did I not put that on the desk properly? Carlton says, when was the last time you smoked? 2005 was the last time I smoked any marijuana. And I smoked a cigar in 2011 or 2012. And I made the mistake of, I consistently inhaled anything I smoked. But this particular cigar, I was taking a walk, so I was taking some big time deep breaths and I got dizzy for the first time. I got really dizzy and nauseous and I'm like, all right, I'm never doing that again. That was unpleasant. So almost 10 years ago, last time I smoked. Josh, thank you for the 100 stars so many times today. Dominic says, wowzers, hashtag Josh. Yes, we're having an open discussion here about what can we do to expand our minds today. I think one of the best things we can do with our health is... Dominic says cigars and cigarettes are disgusting, but weed is my everything. Dean says, I love cigars. I used to like cigars, but after that last experience inhaling them, it was a turnoff. All right, I think we've had a good discussion about the ancient alien topic. I think we'll dip over into some magic here. I appreciate you being here for this discussion. If you prefer to listen, I'm putting this on the Jerry Banfield Show podcast as well in a few days. And if you prefer to watch and you want to be able to contribute live to the discussions, I'm live on Facebook almost every day. Usually these chats are around 11 a.m. Eastern. That time may differ. You can, if you're not following, you can always follow. And I plan to upload these also on YouTube if you prefer to watch the video and you stop using Facebook at some point, they'll be there as well. Or maybe you don't use Facebook, you have that option as well. So thank you for a fantastic discussion today. We'll end the recording now, and then I'll give a shout out to anybody that's live here, and we'll switch over to Magic.